ओम ज्ञानति निदन्धस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
When the cowherd men of Vrindavan, under instruction of Krishna, stopped offering sacrifice to the heavenly king, Indra, the whole tract of land, known as Vraja, was threatened with being washed away by constant heavy rains for 7 days. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Vraja, held up the hill known as Govardhan with one hand only. Although he was only 7 years old, he did this to protect the animals from the onslaught of water. Purport. Children play with an umbrella generally known as a frog's umbrella, or in ordinary English, mushroom. I wonder why a frog would want an umbrella. They like water. Yeah, that's in Sanskrit. It's said like that. Bangla ki bole. Bangya chatta. Bangya chatta. That's why Prabhupada has put that frog. That's it.
Small
enough. Have to be a big mushroom and a small frog. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The frog, they like the rain, isn't it? That's why Bangladesh is called Bangladesh, because there's so many bangs. Bang means frog in Bengali. Oh, better not say that. They might get upset. They might start a new Joy Bangla movement. Children play with an umbrella generally known as a frog's umbrella, and Lord Krishna, when he was only 7 years old, could snatch the great hill known as the Govardhan Parvat at Vrindavan and hold it for 7 days continuously with one hand, just to protect the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath of Indra, the heavenly king, who had been denied sacrificial offerings by the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi. Actually, there is no need of offering sacrifices to the demigods for their services if one is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature for satisfaction of the demigods are a sort of inducement to the sacrifices to realize the existence of higher authorities. The demigods are engaged by the Lord as controlling deities of material affairs, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, when a demigod is worshipped, the process is accepted as the indirect method for worshipping the Supreme Lord. But when the Supreme Lord is worshipped directly, there is no need of worshipping the demigods or offering them sacrifices as recommended in particular circumstances. Lord Krishna therefore advised the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi not to offer any sacrifices to the heavenly king Indra. But Indra, not knowing Lord Krishna in Vrajabhumi, was angry at the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi and tried to avenge the offense. He considered it an offense. But competent as the Lord was, he saved the inhabitants and animals of Vrajabhumi by his personal energy and proved definitely that anyone directly engaged as a devotee of the Supreme Lord need not satisfy any other demigods, however great, even to the level of Brahma or Shiva. Thus this incident definitely proved without a doubt that Lord Krishna is the personality of Godhead, and that he was so in all circumstances, as a child on the lap of his mother, as a boy 7 years old, and as an old man of 125 years of age. In either case, he was never on the level of the ordinary man, and even in his advanced age he appeared a young boy 16 years old. These are the particular features of the transcendental body of the Lord. So going back to yesterday's class, who is Maya Sunu, the son of Maya, Vyoma Sura? Yeah, I said yesterday, I wasn't sure. So I won the quiz. I am the greatest. That's what Indra thought. He thought that Krishna had offended him by telling the Vrajvasis not to worship him, Indra. So that would appear to be an offense. If a junior disregards a senior, that is an offense. And Indra appeared to be senior to Krishna. Because Krishna is just a coward boy. And Indra is the king of heaven. But Indra didn't realize that Indra is Indra because Krishna is Krishna and not vice versa. Indra is the king of heaven because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And he's given him that position. But Indra just saw him as a small boy. And Nanda Maharaj also saw Krishna as a small boy, but their attitude was different. Indra wanted to lord it over Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj, although also in a superior position to Krishna, socially, it appeared like that, his attitude to Krishna was one of pure love. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj is Nanda Maharaj and Indra is Indra. Indra is just the king of heaven, some insignificant position. And Nanda Maharaj is, although Indra wanted to be worshipped, Nanda Maharaj doesn't want to be worshipped, but those who are most expert in theological science, they worship Nanda Maharaj. Jahameha Nanda Vande, Nandam Vande, Yasyalinde Param Brahma. Shruti Mitare, Sviti Mapare, Bharata Manye, Ya Bhababhaya Bhitam. This is the beginning of that verse. So Nanda Maharaj doesn't want to be worshipped, and it seems that Krishna, he's not much concerned with being worshipped, although he is worshipped in his Narayan form. And he's worshipped as Krishna also, but he comes to Vrindavan specifically not to be worshipped. Krishna in Vrindavan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't stop being so, whatever Indra thinks. But he's not in Vrindavan, he's not come to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan he's not in his mode of accepting worship. In fact, when he comes home in the evening, with all the cows and cowherd boys and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan who don't go with him, they are waiting for Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys on the road. And the demigods are also waiting there and offering prayers, Brahma with four heads, Rudra with five heads. And the cowherd boys, seeing this, they start to mimic, they go up to Krishna and in jest, they start offering prayers, "Oh Krishna, you are so great," it's just a big joke for them. So it's a different mood. And Indra can't understand. Someone wrote recently about this. What does it mean that Lakshmi Priya, she was, the separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the form of a snake, and she died from snake bite. So what does that mean? So I tried to give some explanation. He said, "I can't understand." And I said, "Don't worry. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva also don't understand. So if you don't understand, it's not surprising." This is avichintya tat pantastu koti shata vatsara sampragamya vayora thapi manaso mune pungavanam sopyasti yat pravadasimya vinchintya tatve govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. No material method, even that of the mystic yogis, who by mystic yoga practice they can enter into the material elements, they can enter into fire and not be damaged, they can take a rock from the moon without going on a space mission, or a pomegranate from Kabul, if there are any left after it's all been bombed to pieces. Prabhupada said that in his childhood, the one yogi came to their home and he said, "What would you like to eat?" He said, "I'd like some fresh Kabuli dalim, some pomegranate directly from Kabul." So they said, "Okay, go in the next room." And they saw fresh, first class, from just taken from the tree. So the yogi can do, they can do so many things. They can walk on the water. I was seeing a video in which someone was, TV show from England, they showed me that someone was doubting, "Do you really believe that Jesus walked on the water? What's the big thing, walking on the water? So many So many yogis in India walk on what is, and not even yogis, just ordinary people, they go right through the fire, the tight pussum, it's an ordinary thing. You see them on the street and the buses are going past and life just goes on as normal while people are walking on hot coals and dragging chariots with the hook in their back and no drop of blood. And so the yogis, they had tremendous mystic potency. It seems tremendous to us, but there are limits to that. But Krishna is beyond that limit. He is avichintita, beyond the power even of the greatest thinkers to comprehend. Especially Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Krishna's Vrindavan Leela is most difficult to understand. It's not possible to understand. It's not even meant to be understood in the normal sense of the term understand. When we think understand, we think that we put one fact in our brain, put another fact in the brain, and try to link them up. But the very essence of Vrindavan Leela is that it is chamatkar. It is amazing that Bhanu Maharaj has kindly translated Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which there's analysis of rasa. And this is especially in terms of the world of theology, this world, this side of the Viraja River, and actually even the other side. The Gauriya, the specific contribution of the Gauriya Sampada, even to Vaishnavism, is its rasa vichar, or understanding analysis of rasa, transcendental rasa. And that rasa, that is generated from a sense of wonder, is that is always something wonderful. And always new. So that's the nature of Vrindavan. Everything is wonderful. In Vaikuntha, everything is wonderful also, but it's predictably wonderful. Narayan is there. Lakshmi is there. Everything's ordered. Everything goes on very nicely. There are no terrorists, no strikes, no poverty, no Daridra Narayan. Everything is peaceful, very nice. Everything's under control. But in Vrindavan, you never know what's going to happen next. The only thing you can be sure of is it's something that you cannot imagine, because Krishna's pastimes are like that. They are ahariva. What is it? Ahariha. Prema. What is that? I can't remember. The prema, it's like the movement of a snake. It doesn't go straight. It's like this. I saw a snake out here. You get lots of snakes around here, I suppose. Dangerous? They're just frog snakes. They try to catch a frog, is it? Not really dangerous. Big, but not dangerous. For us. Dangerous? Dangerous for the frogs. Rattlesnake. That you don't get there here though. That's in America, no? They don't come in this muddy place. They're in the dry desert, the rattlesnake. Yeah. So the Ahariva Premnagati, the prema, you can't predict. It's going like crooked. The movement is not straight. So Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, even more so than in Mathura or Dwarka, they are something wonderful. Always something wonderful. Something adbhut. Adbhutras. In all the rasas there is adbhut. That makes it rasa. That it's something wonderful or something unpredictable. Yesterday, Shamchandra Prabhu was asking me that he had heard that Kusum Sarovar, you all know Kusum Sarovar, right? It's famous with the big palace. And he'd heard that it's 65 miles deep. And he asked me, is it true? Well, actually, it's much deeper than 65 miles. It's much deeper than any number of miles. It's much deeper than any of us can understand. The pastimes that take place there are beyond human intelligence to measure. How deep are the kunds of Vrindavan? Well, you can say this one is 10 feet deep, or this one is 20 feet deep, but actually they're immeasurable. From the terrestrial vision, we can say this one is 10 feet deep, this one is 20 feet deep. Kusum Sarovar, as we see it now, I don't think it's 60. I mean, in terms of measurement, I don't think it, I never heard that it's 65 miles deep. It was excavated fairly recently. Earlier, in the last 100 years, it was, Kusum Sarovar is eternally there, but as we see it now, it's that size. There are, at Naimisharanya, there's the Chakra Tirtha, which is said to be immeasurably deep. It goes right down to the next level, or Varsha, or whatever you want to call it. So, apparently, during the British rule, some Britisher wanted to disprove this, so he got some chain, got some long chains, and he put, Chakratirtha is like a big round well, that's how we see it. So he put it down 1 mile, then he gave up. He didn't want to go any deeper, so it's at least 1 mile deep by the British scientific method. Nowadays, you can, they have these something scopes. What's that called? Bathyscope. They've gone very deep into the sea, like 20 miles or something. So they go 20 miles deep into the sea. That's pretty deep. So maybe they could try one of them now. But there's no point anyway, because what we see and what we measure, that is not the way. The actual depth is something that we cannot see or understand. When we see, we go to Vrindavan, we see buses, and you're doing Govardhan Parikrama, and there's Ayurvedic medicine shop, they're blasting out on them speaker 24 hours and selling balm because people get sore legs, so they think they can get a good business from selling balm. Then we see beggars and pandas and, oh, it's, according to our vision, it's a busy, dusty, a lot of the year hot, commercialized pilgrimage come tourist center. But that's not the Vrindavan that's being described here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything about Vrindavan is inconceivable. Even one grain of dust in Vrindavan, that's more precious than everything Indra's got. Indra's so proud of being Indra. But he wanted to destroy Rajabhumi, but he doesn't understand that one grain of dust from there is more valuable. Not valuable in terms of gold. You can go and bring the gold to the stock exchange and say, give me gold for this. I won't give you any gold for that. They won't even allow you in. They have, in the jewelry shops, they have the guards with the big guns, which look completely useless. They have these old guns. If anyone came with any modern guns, they'd be completely useless. But they won't let you in. So that people are interested in gold, but the dust of Vrindavan, that is inconceivable. That has the good fortune of, what is that? Radha Padmankita Dham Jarnam Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the definition of Vrindavan is that land which is with the impression of the lotus feet of who? Generally we think of Krishna, isn't it? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says of Radha. Radha Padmankita Dham. So that dust that is more valuable than all the treasures of the world, but one has to be eligible to appreciate that. Bishoy chariya kabe shuddha hobe man tobe hama haribo shri Vrindavan. When one is free from the desire for material enjoyment, then one can see Vrindavan. And everything there is wonderful. We hear so many stories. In the Bible they have this, Jesus walked on the water, and they're amazed by that. And they say, how can that be true? But then we have Krishna, he entered the water and went down to the planet of Varuna. We were just reading yesterday. And then Krishna from Dwarka, he goes through all the coverings of the universe to the Mahavishnu Loka. Not really Loka. Krishna holds the big hill as a little boy, 7 years old. Holds the big hill on the tip of his little finger for 7 days. And then immediately got that all evaporated by Dwadasha Aditya, 12 suns came to evaporate all that water very quickly. So everything we hear about in the next verse, we'll be reading on 2 verses after that, about all the demons that were killed. Pralamba Kara, these are killed by Balaram. Pralamba Sura Kara means Denakasura. Bakasura, Keshi demon. So all these demons, they take different forms. Keshi comes as a horse to Vrindavan. He's not always like a horse, but he assumes that form. So if people have difficulty accepting that Jesus walked on the water, then how are they, which is, you know, it's just a normal thing that yogis do. There's, what is that, one of the Alvas or one of the Acharyas in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, that the boatman refused to take him across the Kaveri, so he said, oh, okay, and he just walked over. So these are so many wonderful things. If we go around Vrindavan Parikrama, we'll hear so many wonderful things. This is the place where Krishna killed the Keshi demon. This is the place where Krishna swallowed the forest fire. And not only in the time of Krishna, but even recently we hear so many sadhus, they go to Vrindavan, and so many wonderful things. Bilva Mangal Thakur was playing with Krishna. Prabhupada, one time there was some incident. Prabhupada, he was, after going to America and coming back, one of his disciples heard from some of the local Brijbasis, Radha Damodar Mandir, that Prabhupada used to speak with Rupa Goswami at night. So he asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, did you speak with Rupa Goswami at night? Sometimes when you sit in front of someone? Everyone knows that. So many wonderful things. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the story is told how there was the rivalry going on between the Swakiyavadis and Parakiyavadis, those who say that, well, Krishna married Radharani and the gopis, and those who contested that. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he was championing the Parakiyavad camp, and the pandits of the Swakiyavad, they were being defeated by him, so they decided to kill him. That's one way of winning an argument, I suppose. That's what it's presumed. There's a lot of killing in religious history. So, it's going on even today. So, every morning he used to, as every sadhu or every person used to do in India, rise early in the morning and go for his bath and then go and do his, collect flowers, do puja, all these things. So they were waiting for him and they saw him coming along the path, and then he entered into one grove and then they went there to get him. And they didn't see him. They saw there's just some beautiful young girl, who looked so bright and shining that just seeing her, their minds became pacified. They went there to kill. Now we're going to kill her. And this one, when they saw her, they became very peaceful. They said, oh, did you see there was one sadhu came here? He said, no, I didn't see any sadhu. And who are you anyway? He said, I'm maidservant of Radharani. She sent me here for collecting some flowers to use for offering to Krishna. And then the form of the girl transformed into Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is a gopi. So then they realize, then they offer the girl and says, okay, all right, you won the argument, we accept. So there are so many wonderful things. Vrindavan means the land of where wonderful is normal. And that's the spirit, that's the nature of the spiritual world. The wonderful chamatkara, or that which is wonderful, that's normal. That's what I'm saying. The Kusum Sarovar, how deep is it? 65 miles? No, much deeper. If you measure it, maybe, I don't know. It's pretty deep. Bhavananda used to make it, oh, they used to go on parikrama. They used to make everyone jump off that high tower. It's pretty high. So, but no one smashed their head on the bottom. It was very deep. Very deep water. How deep? Probably not 65 miles, but then much deeper. Because every drop of water of Kusum Sarovar is fully transcendental and spiritual, and you can analyze it. You can take it to a laboratory and analyze it. It's got this algae in it and this mineral composition. But it's not measurable by any material means, because it is the water which is serving the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So wonderful is normal, but that it's something wonderful all the time doesn't make it boring. It's always ever fresh. There are always amazing things going on. And in Krishna consciousness, it's like that. There are so many wonderful things. I mean, it's not just in Vrindavan, so many temples here also. The ancient temples, and so many stories are there. There's not even only the Vishnu temples, in the demigod temples also. There are so many amazing happenings. And those who have faith, they believe it. And those who don't, they won't. They won't. They'll deny it. And what to speak of these? We call these things wonderful because it seems unusual to us, because we don't expect such things to happen. But everything around us is wonderful. These kind of amazing happenings, they give faith to people. That's Sometimes some yogis, they fake their magic tricks. There's one Baba next door in Bangalore who's widely reputed to fake his magic tricks. And some of them, they may have some mystic powers, and they're trying to convert so many people to Christianity by miracle healing. They heal people. They say, believe in Jesus. And someone who's been in a wheelchair for 20 years gets up and walks and says, hallelujah. And this proves that to them that the power of Jesus, of course, they have to die eventually, so more intelligent is to think how to get free from death than getting free of a wheelchair. But these kind of things, these kind of mystical happenings, they give people faith. And even there are places where people go specifically to get some miracle performed. And there are many temples where people go specifically, they're not getting children, and they go there, and if you pray there, you're supposed to get children. Nowadays, they don't want children anyway, so. It's called Visa Ganesh. You remove? Visa Ganesh. You get your visa for America. There you go. Out, so just at the edge of Hyderabad, there's one temple. It's a Balaji temple. And that's famous. Whatever you want, you get it. When you said visas, I remembered that, because that's one of the things people go for. In France, there's a place called Lourdes, which it's a small village, but it's very busy, because people, when there's some, apparently the Virgin Mary was seen there, and whoever goes there gets cured from all kinds of diseases. And there are even regular flights from Dublin, the capital of Ireland, to this remote village in France called Lourdes, because so many people go there to get cured from. So presumably something's happening. They must be getting something. I mean, you couldn't fake it. It's been going on for 200 years or something at Lourdes. There are many cases of miracle cures. Yeah. Ganesh drinking milk. Yeah. But that day, we heard about it. I was in Delhi and Lokanath Maharaj was there. He said, okay, let's try it. So in the deity room, they brought one Gopal deity. And he fed, and I did it too. I'm churning my hand, but you don't have to do it. You just put the milk at the lip, and just slowly, slowly, you visibly, though, you go, the milk went. No, but this was these are metal things. Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. So anyway, the point is there are so many wonderful things, and these things give people faith. So many stories. So many stories. You should go for your eyes. Huh? There's a story that he lost. The devotee was becoming blind, and she asked for her eyes back. He said, you give my eyes back. Because they changed his eyes. That's not a bona fide process. You can change the clothes of the deities, but not change the eyes. At Radha Ballabh in Melbourne, they asked Prabhupada, can we put on these eyes? And Prabhupada, at the time of installation, Prabhupada said, either you put them or you don't put them, but you don't change afterwards. It's not that you have a different set of eyes every day. So, yeah, there are so many things. When Pankajangri Prabhu comes, he comes and tells the story. So many stories of Nrisimhadev personally appearing to the Pujari, and then to someone at Chaitanya Mat. He came to them, and then his guru told him, okay, you better go and worship him then. And Jagannath at Rajapura, Rajpura. Is it Rajapura or Rajpura? Rajapura, yeah. Rajpura is in Punjab. So there's so many stories of him, and the Muslims also have faith in him, which is against their religion, because they know that we don't like Hindus, but we have to be careful with Jagannath, because if he's pleased with you, very good. If he's not, you're in trouble. So these things, they create faith, but actually one who has got the eyes to see, then anyway we should have faith in the Lord. The miracles are required for people who they're less intelligent, actually. If you require some mystic apparition, but everything we see should remind us of the Supreme Lord, that Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagadvi Parivartate. The whole world, how is it going on? Only by His power. That the tree comes from the seed, isn't that amazing? But because it's part of our normal experience, we think it's normal. That's why for a transcendentalist, what other people think is something amazing, it's just normal. You see, it's just like Prabhupada said that when they asked him, Prabhupada, did you sometimes used to speak to Rupa Goswami? No, everyone knows him. For him it was normal, for us it was like, that's amazing. And then that time they asked Prabhupada, do you sometimes go and see the demigod? He said, why should I go and see the demigod? They come and see me. So one thing is that it might be difficult to sort out the real stories of these amazing happenings, because many times people, they fake it or they make it up or they advertise it, exaggerate, something small happens and they make it big. So Prabhupada, he told some stories about himself, how his own Guru Maharaj came in his dream several times and told him, you must come with me. He said, come with me. Anashanga Chalayasha. Come with me, which means he meant take sannyas. So that several times told. And then Prabhupada told he had the heart attack on the boat, and then when he was going in the ship over the sea, and he told that Krishna in his various forms, the Dasa Avatar, appeared to him in the dream and said, don't worry, I'm rowing the boat. So he was rowing the boat and said, don't worry, I'm looking after you. And Prabhupada told that when Prabhupada was with Krishna, and Krishna told him, you come to this world, and he told Prabhupada, you come and preach. And Prabhupada said, how can I go there? It's so miserable. And then Krishna said to him, you don't worry, I'll look after everything. You just go there and write those books. As Bhavananda told us when he was in quarantine with Prabhupada. So many. The unusual is normal. But we shouldn't advertise that this happened to me, that happened. Prabhupada told that someone had told that he was doing parikrama of Jagannath in Puri in the temple and with his wife, and Jagannath snatched his wife's sari. Prabhupada said, well, we have to believe this? That fat, black, ugly woman, that Jagannath is snatching her sari. Prabhupada said, as far as I know, he said nothing. He said, nothing happened like this to me. I don't have any stories to tell like this, although actually he did. But he said, as far as I'm concerned, I simply have full faith in the words of my spiritual master. That's all, not all these different stories and amazing happenings. And that's not the substance of our Krishna consciousness. Actually, the substance means there's the Krishna Leela. But not that we're going around saying, well, this happened to me. Krishna appeared to me, I had this apparition. There's so many stories like that, but that's not the basis of our understanding of Krishna consciousness. The basis is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam the knowledge of Krishna given in Shastra. The knowledge has to be received from Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. As far as mystic apparitions and so, that may be there, but the real test is Bishoy Charya Kobe Shuddha Hobema. That we, if we're free from the desire for personal enjoyment, then our link with Krishna will be substantial. Otherwise, so many people tell they had this dream and this apparition, and, but then you see what they're doing in their life. They're sitting there drinking a cup of tea and telling you that Krishna comes to them in their dreams. But what's the meaning? What's the value? And Krishna's going to come on what? You're going to share a cup of coffee with him? Not very likely. So, these things are there, and those things which are told by genuine, accepted acharyas, we can accept as genuine spiritual experiences. And there are certainly many such incidences, because the nature of the spiritual is that it's not bound by material law. So definitely such apparitions and incidences do happen all the time. But those who are on that platform, they don't even take it as wonderful. For them, it's normal, and they don't have to advertise it to others. This happened, that happened, this apparition, this, that, the other. Rather, they don't advertise that, because they don't want to, unlike the materialistic people who like to create an impression to others of being advanced spiritualists according to all their magic powers and their wonderful apparitions. A devotee, he doesn't like to advertise, like Madhavendra Puri. Krishna appeared to him in dreams and gave orders, but he didn't advertise it, but only because he had to execute some service to the Lord that these things became known. So, taking to Krishna consciousness means to enter the platform of the amazing, the platform of the wonderful. But that is not a matter of advertising to others, to promote one's own greatness. Rather, a great devotee always tries to promote how wonderful is Krishna. And certainly Krishna is wonderful. So if we promote that, that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. That is kirtan, to glorify Krishna. But if we want to glorify ourselves, that, oh well, this, I saw Krishna in an apparition, and Krishna grabbed my sari, and this is just another form of self-promotion. So that should not be there. On the other hand, if one is genuinely trying to serve Krishna, then we'll see the hand of Krishna in everything. And when we try to do something wonderful for Krishna, then certainly Krishna will reciprocate in wonderful ways, and we can see how Krishna is helping us. How Prabhupada spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Certainly Krishna's hand was there. Shama Sundar Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's first disciples on the west coast, he just gave one incident that we were just a few people, and we had this idea, we're going to take over the world for Krishna. We had full confidence, and we saw how Krishna was helping us at all times. That we one time they organized a big festival, and they had no money, and they made all the arrangements, and they had to pay so many hundreds of dollars, which in those days was a lot of money for them, and they had no idea where the money was going to come from. And then just early morning, they went outside. There was no one around, and they saw so many $100 notes just blowing in the street. So they just picked them up and used it. Again, it is much later, it must have been, I think, about 1976, in New York City. They were doing the book distribution marathon, and they was handing out, every devotee was handing out hundreds of books every day, and just asked, give whatever, any donation, whatever. And they were just giving out so many books, and their BBT debt was just building up and building up the whole month. So they were like thousands of dollars. They were building up a debt, but it was not, you can say it's not a very wise policy, but they were just in ecstasy giving out books. And then just on the last day of the marathon, every day they're opening, because they're living day to day, so every day they opened up the pranami box. Whatever money was there, they spent it for boga and this. The last day they found thousands of dollars. Some, they don't know who put it there, and it just exactly enough to pay off the BBT debt. So, Krishna will help. If we try to do something wonderful for Krishna, Krishna will help us, that's for sure. We'll see Krishna's hand in everything. We'll see how he's wonderfully helping us. But that is not a matter for advertisement. If we advertise, then is it spiritual or is it material? If we advertise, then that means that some mayic form has come to help us boost our prestige. But if we genuinely want to serve Krishna, then we'll certainly see Krishna in so many wonderful ways. Bhai Maharaj, like to add anything to that?
Yeah, about miracles. I just read in Druga Kamas was telling about one Chinese person, and he was studied by the scientist there because of his powers. So under very, 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 very strict scientific control, they had him demonstrate his so-called mystical powers, whatever it was, and they found they were true.
Yeah.
And one of the powers was this typical. A glass case, and they stuck an insect in it, live, and they sealed it. So then the whole thing was to get the insect out. So the insect got out, suddenly the insect was outside alive, and then the glass case wasn't broken. So they managed to actually film what happened. They got a camera, a special camera that was 400 grams per second.
Is it? I don't know. 400 frames per second. That's
400 frames per second. Special Japanese TV camera. And so they filmed them. Maybe it was an object, a button or some plastic object, and they sealed the tube, glass tube, and then it came out without breaking the glass case. Things in there, and the thing was outside of it. So on the film, they actually managed to film 3 frames out of 400. They could see the object passing through the glass and coming out. So in 100 seconds, the object managed to go through the glass and come
out. Without breaking it, yeah. There are so many things. I remember.
By the power of his mind, he could do that.
I remember, there's so much documentation of miracles. I remember seeing as a child also on TV, they put a yogi in a case in a vacuum. Then he came out, after 9 hours he signaled, I want to come out now. I remember on the beach, this would be late 1970s in Bombay on the Juhu beach just in front of the temple. Used to go walking, japa walk, and there'd be, inside the sand, there'd be 2 hands coming up like this. Someone was buried in the sand. It was Bailey's in it. And people would walk past and put a few coins. It's a funny way to earn a living. But so he'd be like this. And someone would be buried in the sand. I don't know. Daily would be like that. And there are so many things. The Thai Pusam, I saw that on TV also as a kid also. From Sri Lanka they showed. The Thai Pusam walking on the fire. And there are so many things. Amazing things.
There's a book on it, Kipling's Believe It or Not. A lot of things from this morning's day.
What about this Houdini? He was...
He's
a magician, but it works like mystic powder. How he was tied up in a box and chained up and thrown in the Niagara Falls. And
tricks. Well, not tricks, but he used magic. That's not that he managed to
stop. Not by mystic power.
Okay.
Although it seems impossible how he could be manacled, put in a sealed box, and thrown in just before the Niagara Falls, and come out.
But this is a sign that Krishna
came through, yeah. But still they won't, still people won't believe. They're preconditioned. They're not scientific minded actually. I never saw, but apparently there was someone who on TV and in public performances regularly, someone would hold a spoon like this. Huh?
It was also by the American military.
They examined him. And just by looking at it, he made it bend. Prabhupada said in one lecture that there are some yogis, they take bath every morning in Badrinath, Rameshwaram, Puri and Dwarka. No, yogis, I'm saying. They take bath in the four dhams every morning. Prabhupada said, I have personally seen. So that suggests Prabhupada himself is also, if he's personally seen, then he must be going also. So many things.
Visited other concern in Mayapur,
he had
attacked like a
injury.
His face was
something
broken.
Ratha
Khan, which Ratha Khan? He has a 22 volt in the sun. So due to some fire attack and injury, he had a second degree burn in his face. So he asked Pakija to pray to Narasimha. He was admitted to the hospital in Calcutta. Before the operation, his voice is gone. Mother, and he just came to say, hey, there's no any scar in his face. Don't be surprised. He would have made all in his
face. That's what they banned firecrackers in Mayapur. Still goes on though.
No, everybody is writing back to Pakija and go, I have kidney problems.
That's the problem, yeah. Hare Krishna. There are so many. There's one fakir in Rajasthan who went to see him. They have stones. He just puts his hand and they come out right in his hand. Anyone has kidney stone or any problem, just go, he'll take it out. No operation.